Well, thank you for your presence here this morning. And we come together certainly to mourn a great loss, but to also celebrate the life and impact of Betsy Manley, who passed into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ this past Sunday, February 7th. She was born July 4th, 1938. And she probably thought, at least as a child, that the fireworks were in her honor. I'm not sure. But she was the daughter of the late Walter and Maoma Branch. In addition to her parents, she is preceded in death by her siblings, Marvin, Sam, Jack, Earl, Homer, and Princess. Betsy is survived by her husband of 55 years, Lester, her two gracious daughters, Jennifer and her husband, Vaughn, Beth and her husband, Eldon, numerous beloved grandchildren, along with rich blessing of four great-grandchildren. She's also survived by two sisters, Truly Casto and Precious Markham, and a host of other family members. Betsy made a big impact in her family. She loved her family and the multiple generations that are her legacy. I came to learn about one legacy that apparently is being passed on, and that is that awesome slap a label on it and sell it salsa that she used to make. And I believe, Jake, you are the caretaker of that, is what I understand. And I know she loved her family well. Betsy made a big impact in the church. For decades, she taught the three-year-olds in Sunday school. And when I say taught, I mean taught. And just out of curiosity, I wonder if there's anyone here who was in her Sunday school class over the years. There you go. Did she teach well? She did, I know. She made an eternally lasting impact of the lives of so many. She loved her church, and she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved her community. She lived her whole life in one place, way back on her family's farm on Battery Creek. And I love to go back to visit them, that windiest drive down Red Hill Road along Battery Creek. And when you cross the creek and come up to that old farmhouse, which is a great deal more updated than when she grew up there, it's always warm because those wood stoves are going. Big Island was home. She endeared herself to the people who lived here, and they to her. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after wind." Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." And I know these verses describe Betsy's approach to life. She was a lady who loved the simple life and understood what contentment was. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in this place to celebrate the life of an incredibly precious and sweet lady, your servant, your child by virtue of your grace poured out in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that as we gather in this place, certainly overwhelmed with grief, weeping and mourning, I thank you that we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope. I thank you that because of Jesus Christ, Betsy's experiencing the fullness of her faith. She's seeing her Savior face to face. Lord, I pray that that truth would resound in this room. That truth would bring and breathe comfort by the work of your Spirit into the lives of the family and friends who have gathered here. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love completely and perfectly demonstrated in Christ. We thank you for your love demonstrated in this sweet and wonderful life of Betsy Manley. So, Lord, as we celebrate her, we celebrate you. And we celebrate your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, before Erica Barnett comes to sing, let me just mention that obviously circumstances and things are different, and circumstances surrounding the coronavirus has made it not possible to have a time of viewing or visiting or to have a large lunch gathering. And so we thought that later in this service it'd be a blessing to the family and to others gathered here for those of you who'd like to share a brief word of testimony about how Betsy blessed you, or perhaps an experience that was important to you in your relationship with Betsy. And I know that there are many of those moments. And so be thinking about that in just a bit. We'd like to invite you, we'd welcome you to share about those experiences. But Erica's gonna come now and sing.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still I'll fly. and still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
On behalf of the family, I want to thank you all for being here, for your presence. It means a lot to us. As we celebrate Betsy's life, I want to read to you some verses that she really liked. 23rd Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Erica and Eldon. Well, if there's anyone who would like to share a word of testimony regarding Betsy and the way that she's blessed your life, we'd welcome you to share that at this time. Anyone want to share a word?
I remember how she used to fuss and pump for playing so much golf. She would have a fit with all the candy, but she enjoyed it.
Yeah. Amen. Anyone else?
I know several times that I would take my two children, which are now 7 and 5, to go down and see Punk and Betsy, and they would think it was such an adventure to go down that road and cross that creek,
yeah,
and everything. It always used to tickle me. It didn't matter what time of day. It could be 7 o'clock in the evening in the summertime, but Betsy was going to make sure that them kids had a little bowl of ice cream.
Oh, wow.
And I would kind of look at Betsy and say, man, are you sure they need that sugar? She'd just look at me and just smile. Sweet lady.
Well, evidently, I didn't make visits at the right time. Anyone else?
I grew up down the creek with her. She's my aunt. And when all of us were little, we could always go there. Played in the creek and her house.
Oh my.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
We grew up in heaven or in that lava.
Yeah.
My kids always thought it was such a big deal to go. They didn't like nursery, but going into Miss Manley's class was the best.
Yeah.
And even after they went on to Miss Turpin's class, they still had to stop every Sunday to see Miss Manley to get home. She
always had her back of the call. Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Well, you all must really want me to speak, so here we go. Betsy was a sweet lady, and even though I had a relatively brief relationship with her as her pastor of 2 years, a little over 2 years, I know that she was a remarkably faithful wife and mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, sister, aunt, friend, but most importantly, Christ follower. Betsy was in so much pain for the past few years, and there seemed like there was so little that the doctors could do for her. But in spite of that, and certainly pre-pandemic, she would come early to church, and she'd make her way to the Living Light Sunday School class, and there she would join her sister Truly, along with Doris and Shirley and Dottie and Audrey and Polly, and they would have fellowship in the Word of God. Her faith was vibrant all the way to the end of her life. I remember one Sunday morning in particular, I greeted her and asked her how she was doing. And her response sticks to me even to this day. She said, well, I'm really hurting today. And I said something about how I was blessed by her effort to be there in spite of her obvious pain. To which she replied, I'd rather be here in pain than to be home in pain. What a testimony of commitment. What a testimony of faith. Let me ask you a question. If you were given a choice of going to heaven today or waiting 10 years, what would you choose? How you and I answer that question tells a lot about what we think regarding heaven. I think the majority of people would desire to wait 10 years or more. The Apostle Paul wrestled with a similar question in Philippians chapter 1 when he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And like many of you, I may greet you like I did perhaps this morning, and I may say something like, 'Good morning, how are you doing today?' And so often, so many times, we'll respond by, 'Well, I'm blessed because I'm still here.' And I get that. But for Betsy and for those who are in Christ, the best we have experienced in this life pales in comparison to our lives beyond the grave. The truth is, most of us really don't grasp what God has prepared for us, because we prefer life on this earth. But let me tell you, Betsy is experiencing all the joys of heaven, even as we gather in this place to celebrate her and remember her. For the next few minutes, I just want to share with you very briefly some great truths about heaven. And one of the passages of scripture we often hear when we come to occasions like this is John 14, when Jesus encourages his disciples there, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I'm going to be a little honest with you. There are times when I've thought this, and maybe in the back of your mind, you've thought this as well. You thought, "Well, you know what? How do I know that heaven is really real? I've never seen it. I've never had the opportunity to talk with someone face to face who's been there and experienced it. Is heaven really real?" Perhaps you thought that. Well, God knew that we would indeed think that. And I think that's why the Bible tells us and Jesus reassures us that heaven is indeed real. Remember how he taught us to pray? He taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Heaven is as real as God. If God exists, then heaven is indeed real. Heaven isn't a fairy tale. It's not some made-up thing. It is a reality. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." But you know what we typically do? We think about earth far more often and far greater than we do heaven. And I got to thinking, you know what? I think I know why people get so frustrated and irritated in life. It's because they're trying to make earth heaven. And they're trying to get safe enough and secure enough and get lots of enjoyment and pleasure and not worry too much and not stress too much. And when it doesn't happen, we blow a gasket. We get upset. And when we try to make earth heaven, we will always come out disappointed. God wants us to think about heaven and what it will be like, so that we understand that this is not it. And that we also have something that we can look forward to. Death is really scary if earth is your heaven. But death is not the enemy when you know that there's something far better on the way. So let me just call us to think for just a few moments based on John 14. what heaven is like. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. God has never sent his people to an unprepared place. When he created Adam and Eve, he brought them to a prepared garden. When Israel was ready to go into the new land, he brought them into a land that was already prepared, a land filled with milk and honey. God always prepares a place in a way for those who are his. It's not haphazardly thrown together. It's just not an afterthought of God. I mean, in the same way that we might prepare our home to receive company, heaven is a prepared place. And it's a spectacular place. It's a place that declares amazingly the awesome creative God that he is. The Bible talks about heaven having trees and gardens and rivers and countryside and cities, a huge city. It even talks about how big the city of God will be. It'll be a 1,500-mile cube. And that means it just won't go out, but it'll go up. I've been told that if you try to put the size of heaven in perspective, it would stretch from Canada to Mexico, from Missouri to California, and it would be 780,000 stories high. And apparently that's just the royal city. But it will also be full of animals. I know that Betsy loved feeding her birds, scores of them. You know, we had a bear feast on our feeders last spring. And I understand that Betsy had that happen as well. And as Beth tells it, she got madder than you can imagine. Now, I know that birds will be in heaven. And perhaps there might be bear there too as well. But it's a grand and glorious place when everything will be in harmony and everything will be right. So it doesn't matter if bears are in heaven. It's going to be okay. That's what heaven is. It's like a little boy who looked up into a beautiful starry sky and he said to his grandma, so grandma, if heaven is this beautiful on the outside, I wonder what it looks like on the inside. That's heaven. The other day, Jesus came to Betsy and said, Betsy, I'm ready for you. The place I've been preparing, it's ready. It's time to come home. Because heaven is a prepared place. But heaven is also a perfect place. John writes in Revelation 21 this. He said, he, that is God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And just think for a minute of what will not be in heaven. In heaven, there will be no funeral homes, no hospitals, no rehab centers and nursing homes, no abortion clinics, no divorce courts, no bankruptcy, no psychiatric wards, no cancer, no treatment centers, no teen suicide, no missing children, no drugs or alcohol abuse, no murder, no racial tension or prejudice, no mistakes, no misunderstandings, no injustice, no depression, no hurtful words, gossip, or hurt feelings. That means there'll be no Facebook or Twitter. No worry, no emptiness, no child abuse, no wars, no financial worries, no emotional headaches, no spiritual flatness, no physical pain, no pain medication. In heaven, there'll be no tears, no suffering, no separation, no starvation, no arguments, no accidents, no emergency departments, no need for doctors or nurses on duties, no heart monitors, no rust, no unanswered questions, no lies or fake news. No door locks. But God recognizes that we're going through some of that stuff here on earth. But he says it won't last forever. Even if you're ridiculed for being a Christian, God says, just wait. In Luke 6, Jesus says, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for great a reward waits you in heaven. See, heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a perfect place. But then heaven is also a people place. John, just in the verse earlier in Revelation 21, in verse 3, said, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Now, I understand that Betsy was not an overtly social person. And I get that, believe me. But you know what's amazing to me? God has declared that he didn't want to live in eternity for all eternity without people. It's not that he needs us. He wants us. And heaven is going to be populated with all kinds of people. The Bible says that there will be people in heaven from every tribe, every tongue, every color, every culture. Lots of people from lots of different places, but they all will have gotten there the same way. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I'm constantly amazed at the fact that God has designed one way for people to get to heaven. For all the billions upon billions upon billions of people who have ever lived and died on this earth, God has only had one way of getting them to heaven. There's not one way for Muslims, not one way for Jews, and another way for Christians, just one way. God says, if you're going to come to heaven, you've got to come to and through his Son, Jesus Christ. No one gets to heaven by being good. No one gets to heaven by being real nice or being the best that you can or by going to church or by good deeds. It's by turning from sin, trusting in Jesus Christ and what he graciously did when he died on the cross for your place, my place, and for our sins on that cross, and then he rose from the dead. That's the only way. There's a teacher who was teaching her kids how to spell. And she told the class that she wanted each of them to tell what their father did for a living and then spell that out. And so the first was Mary. She said, "My dad's a baker, B-A-K-E-R. And if he were here, he'd give everybody a cookie." And the next came Tommy. He said, "My dad's a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R. And if he were here, he'd give everybody a dollar." The third kid was Jimmy. He said, "My dad's an electrician." Now, he tried several times to spell electrician, but couldn't get it. Finally, the teacher asked him, "Well, you know what? You just sit down. You think about it for a while, and I'm going to go on and ask somebody else." So she turned to the next kid, Johnny. And Johnny said, "Well, my dad's a bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E. And if he were here, he'd give you a 10-to-1 odds that Jimmy ain't ever going to spell electrician." Now, let me ask you, what are the odds of going to heaven just like Betsy has? Jesus wants it to be 100%. Believe the gospel. Trust in him. Give him your life. And he'll give you peace while you live here on this earth. And he will give you a home in glory. Erica is going to come and sing in just a moment a wonderful song, 10,000 Reasons. And just listen to how this song describes what will happen when a believer moves from this life to heaven. Erica?
Thank you.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the
you caught that stanza in that song. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. That's the grace of God. That's what Betsy's doing now. She has all eternity to sing the praises of God. And I hope that you have that confidence as well. We love you, and we hope that you've been encouraged this morning, but as much as you're loved by those who have gathered here, how much greater is God's love for you as a family? And I pray that you'll be overwhelmed by his grace and his comfort in these days to come. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, I do thank you so much for blessing us with Betsy. And everyone who's come into this room has experienced that in so many different and various ways. But Lord, it's obvious to all of the love that she had for her family, the love that she had for this part of Bedford County. But above all that, the love that she has for you. Lord, I pray that you would bless this family in these days of grief. I thank you that your God is not separated from us in that way, that, Lord, you understand what sorrow is. That you've identified with us. So, Lord, I pray that you would come and walk alongside this family. Even as Eldon read earlier from Psalm 23, that in this dark valley, you will walk with them. Lord, comfort them. Help us to be agents of comfort for them. Lord, thank you for the blessing that you are to us, and thank you for the blessing that you've allowed us to experience in Betsy. Lord, we love you. And we praise you for your faithfulness, your goodness, and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a moment, we'll be moving to the cemetery. And you, of course, are welcome to join the family up there. So we're going to ask our friends from the funeral home to come and help us at this time.